2 weeks ago, we had about 50 people.
We have 50 people in Camp Kedron, living together for a weekend. I saw and experienced the Lord's presence myself, and many people, including myself, enjoyed the time together with one another. In the last session, about 15 people indicated that they want to read and know the Bible more. I'm not sure whether you remember or not. I don't know how they went with reading the Bible these few weeks after the camp. This morning, I would like to share something to encourage them. The theme of my sharing is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, which is the first few words of Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let me read the whole verse out. Maybe I read verse 1 and 2 as well, which is the context. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And then verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Although it is the 15 people motivating me to speak on this theme, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, I decide to encourage other people as well to develop a daily fellowship with God through His word. So, as I share, please pray for me. I do need your prayer. Also, pray for someone here whom you care, so that they can be benefited from this morning's sharing. Of course, don't forget to pray for yourself. No one has learned all they should on this area. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you by your graces, by your precious grace. We commit the time to you. We ask the Holy Spirit to anoint the speaker and the listener. Lord, as we read your words, Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to speak and to impress your own words into our hearts so that we can really see you, how good you are and how precious your words are. Lord, help us. We commit our time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The importance of knowing God's words has many aspects. We first look at some of them this morning. We are living in an age of so-called postmodernism. One characteristic of postmodernism is believing that there is no absolute or objective truth. Everything is relative and up to individuals. For example, you might sometimes hear people saying that to you, it may be true to you, but not for me. Different viewpoints on different things are like different products available in the market to different consumers. Everyone can choose whatever opinion as product according to one's liking. This is each person's right to own their point of view, but no one can demand another person to accept their point of view. This is regarded as mutual respect. According to postmodernism, it seems that there's no right or wrong opinion. This includes opinions on whether cheesecake or ice cream is more delicious, or whether abortion is right or wrong. living in postmodernism, world of confusion and distortion, we need God's word to be our everlasting truth and stand on it is firm foundation. Like Psalm 119 verse 160, it said, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." You want to be steadfast and unwavering. Read God's words. As we live in an unbelieving world, as Jesus said, we are not of this world, but we are in this world. Hearing the non-believers' words is unavoidable. If we don't hear God's words, we'll be easily influenced by what we hear and what we see from this world, and be gradually drifted away. Not only our mindset, value, and feeling, but even our sense of beauty can be changed unconsciously by the environment we are exposing to. I remember when I was a teenager, bell-shaped jeans, are very popular among young people in Hong Kong. Everywhere you could see young people wearing bell-shaped jeans. Gradually, I became feeling sincerely that bell-shaped jeans were very good-looking, and narrow jeans were very bad-looking. After some years, narrow jeans became popular in Hong Kong. Then my personal taste changed. And I think that narrow jeans were very good looking, but bell-shaped jeans were not. I would feel embarrassed to wear bell-shaped jeans at that time, because I sincerely felt that the bell-shaped jeans were ugly. Whether we wear bell-shaped jeans or narrow jeans, due to the influence of the market, are not a very significant matter. It's trivial. However, this trivial matter does remind us that we need to be watchful for our hearts and mind, and be guarded by God's word from the ungodly influence, which sometimes can even be very harmful, both spiritually and even physically. For example, some girls, they keep looking at the skinny models of fashion shows, and think that the more skinnier, the more beautiful. Some try to become skinnier by avoiding normal eating, and gradually develop anorexia. Some even died because of that. For Christians to grow strong and with a renewed mind, we need to let God's word dwell in our hearts. Otherwise, we will be unconsciously and subtly conformed by this world. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." How can our mind and our heart be renewed and transformed? How can we have understanding and discernment to know God's will? It is through His words. In Psalm 119, verse 97 to 100, the psalmist said, "Oh, how I love your law." The law here refers to God's words. "It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. When I was young, I wanted to be smart. Do you want to be smart? I see Vicky nodding her head. If you have God's word, you can be wiser than your enemy, than your teachers, than the elderly. Last year, I gave these few verses to a young man. I encourage him to meditate on God's word. I do want him to be wiser than me for the glory of God. And I'm sure he will, if he starts loving and meditating God's word from his youthful days. Do you want to be wiser? Read God's word. Being Christian, naturally and normally, they desire God's word. And as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted the Lord is good? My parents went to church meetings before I was born. Like many of you, I went to Sunday school since I was a little kid. I was quite familiar with all the Bible stories taught in Sunday school. Before I was a teenager, I was already very familiar with the basic truth of the gospel and how the preachers preach them. I was sort of able to guess what the preacher is going to speak the following sentence after hearing the previous sentence he preached. I agree with all the basic content of the gospel in my head. I agree that to be a Christian is a very good thing. I could very easily pass the baptism interview. But I was not truly converted. When I was 14, there was a night when all my family went to bed. I knelt down and prayed to Jesus. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. I was so sorry for the sins I committed and dishonored God. I asked for His forgiveness. The Holy Spirit opened my inner eyes. How bad I was. And how Jesus chose to love and die for me on the cross, sacrificially, unconditionally. That night I was very clear that my sins were forgiven. That night I was converted. There was a very clear determination in my heart. Since God is so good, I gave myself to Him. I have to follow Him and pursue to know Him. So since then, after that night, I indeed like a newborn infant, longing for pure spiritual milk. Because I wanted to have more time to read the Bible, to know the Lord, I decided to resign from various school activities. I stopped joining Scout. I used to be the school team, school table tennis team and volleyball team, doing inter-school competition. But I resigned from those teams. I remember my volleyball team teacher was not very happy about that. But at that time, I just had a very simple heart and simple motivation, wanting to have more time to know the Bible and to pursue the Lord. don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you should stop your school extracurricular activities in order to optimize your time to read the Bible. Everyone and his life situation are different. However, if you want to read the Bible, but you find that yourself are too busy and don't have time for his words, then cut down some of your activities to spare time for him. Even they are good activities, because often it is the good thing being the enemy of the fasting. Not to say there might be some unimportant, not of much value things, activities, or even harmful activities in our life, which hinder us to know him and his words. If this is the case in your life, may the love of Christ and his goodness constrain you to make you, to help you, to make these activities giving way to the Bible. One major distraction might be previous night activities may need to be rearranged or get rid of so that you can sleep earlier for the morning time with God next day. Have you tasted the goodness of the Lord? Feed yourself with God's words and grow in him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." If a man wants to live, he needs bread. For a Christian to live out of the new life in him, he needs the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." The Bible is a very different book from other books, including great spiritual Christian books. It is breathed out by God. It is God's own words. Its power, authority, and impact to man is no other man's words or book can compare. Someone might say, "The Bible is so good, and I have tried to read it every day, but why I can't gain from it? I don't have the desire for it. I don't experience impact from it." If you have this puzzle, don't be discouraged. I encourage you, still keep on reading the Bible. Someone say, I don't know how to gain from reading Bible. Maybe the reason is you don't know how to use the Bible to fellowship with God. Or sometime in our life, God, it seems to be silent. Sometimes the Lord is training us and to increase our faith that even when we don't feel the presence of God in our quiet time with him, he is still with us. Even you feel that he is silent, he still loves you dearly. Some people say that I have no desire for God's word. No appetite. Like many mothers, they complain their little kids have no appetite for a normal meal because too much junk food actually given to them. Is that right? If you find that you feel you don't have the appetite for God's word, is it possible that you have a lot of junk food? If this is the case, cut down your exposure to junk food. Maybe, I'm not sure what junk food you have. Maybe social media, WeChat, WhatsApp. Last week, I heard someone say, or last week, a week before, this person likes to watch the TV series from China. So good. So good. Might be these are junk food. If you find that today, you don't have appetite for God's words. They are so entertaining. Make God's words so boring. Someone say, God's word has no impact on me. Then maybe you have spiritual health issue. You have digestive system problem. If you just read it without exercising, without applying it, you become very fat and big-headed. God's word will become less impact, and then you become immune to God's word. Immune to the impact of God's word. Only a hearer, or even only a searcher or student of God's word, but not doer of his words. Or simply, you are not converted. You haven't yet his new life in you. But even that, don't be discouraged. Seek him. Cry out to him to reveal himself to you and reveal your own sin to you so that you can be saved. So that you can have this new life. Once you have this new life is very natural. This new life desire, have the appetite for God's word. Ask God for help, no matter what situation. Ask him to shine light on you, what is the issue. Seek help from other Christians you trust. Because God's words, reading God's words, is a very crucial, important issue. Now I'm going to share on the practical side more on feeding yourself with God's words through daily fellowship with him. This is what we usually call daily quiet time. Or morning watch, if you do it in the morning. Set a personal quiet time which you can be attentive and focused on God without distraction. This time needs to be without distraction because we have to meet God with our heart. Set a time suitable for you. Set it apart. And come to meet God by faith. Trusting God drawing himself close to you when you draw yourself close to God. As James chapter 4, verse 8 said, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. ask the Holy Spirit in you to teach and speak God's word to you. If you don't have much time, don't read too much. Otherwise, you won't have time to meditate on what you read. For example, if you only have 15 minutes each day, actually 15 minutes is the minimum. You can't quiet down your heart to read and meet God unless you have a very good unless you do it, you can quickly turn your heart to God and settle your heart and have a very smooth communication with God. Otherwise, 15 minutes is the minimum to most people. If you have 15 minutes only, then just read a chapter or even half a chapter if the chapter is too long. Reading New Testament a chapter a day in sequence is a simple and good way to start. If you have time, you will read one week, you can, but yeah, at least a chapter a day. Don't focus on what you don't understand. Because when you read maybe a majority of the session, the scripture you read, you don't understand. But don't focus on what you don't understand. But focus on the part that draw your attention and also you understand a bit. Meditate on that part, which might be a section or a verse or even a phrase or a word. Remember, this time is not for systematic, thorough Bible study, but having fellowship with God. So no need to use reference book or Bible commentary. No need to spend long time to investigate a question you don't quite understand. You can do more thorough Bible study at other times if you like. Ask the Holy Spirit what He wants to teach you through the session, through that verse, or through that word. Ask the Holy Spirit how to apply what you understand to your current situation. Whether it is a thanksgiving to God, receiving comfort from God, a confession of sin to God, an apology to man, a prayer for someone, to call a brother as a care for him. Then obey, go and do it. If in our youthful days, or even in our old age, if we haven't established a good habit, this good habit, we can learn. Establish a personal quiet time of daily fellowship with God. This can have a very big impact in your life. You will be transformed. As Neil said last Sunday, relationship with God comes through fellowship with Him. Transformation of life comes through relationship with God. In addition to daily fellowship with God through reading His words, memorizing and meditating the Bible are very beneficial as well. The more we can memorize, the more we can meditate on God's word, the more our mind can be renewed by that, and the more the Holy Spirit can use them to speak to us. I remember there was an exam I sat in my first year of university. That morning I did a exam very badly. I was so scared I would repeat I would fail the subject and need to repeat that year. I was very anxious and needed to sit for the afternoon exam paper part 2. So during the lunch break, I went back to my hostel room and knelt down to pray. before I closed my eyes, I saw the Yushou Hill in front of my bedroom balcony. The Bible verse in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, come to my mind. He said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Holy Spirit spoke to me through these words, comforting and strengthening me. I immediately know that this was from God. I received that timely help to do the afternoon exam, paper 2. At the end, I didn't need to repeat that year. Another occasion is that after many years, I was not sure whether I should migrate to Australia from Hong Kong or not. I was quite settled in Hong Kong at that time, as a young family with Yvonne and little daughter Joy. I was having a stable job, a fine teaching job. And I was serving in church with other brothers together, harmoniously. I and my young families are very well loved by brothers and sisters, young and old, in the church. At that time, I was not sure whether this is God's leading for me to go to a new country, having a new job, and gathering, serving with new brothers and sisters. One night, I knelt down to pray and seek the Lord for that. And the Holy Spirit used the words of the other verses of the same Psalm, 121, spoke to my heart. They are verse 3 to 8. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Because of that, I was peaceful and decided to go to Australia. After I came here, during all these years, I did come across some hardship which I never had imagined, and were far more than I could handle by my own strength. It is the assurance God given to me through Psalm 121 that night gave me peace to face those dark times of difficulties, knowing that I was in good hands of God, because it is He Himself leading me to come here. Although this is only my personal experience on the preciousness of God's word, many brothers and sisters in here, I believe, can echo this with their experience, their own experience. So therefore, let us make effort to allow the word of Christ dwelling richly in us. Satan knows how important God's words to Christians are. So he has been trying to attack the Bible fiercely, but God keeps it. Recently, I and Yvonne went to Israel. You know, Satan attacks the Bible's historical validity. In Israel, we went to different places, see some place mentioned in the Bible. Those places people may not believe their real history. But archaeologists do their findings, show us that they are true. One of them is the Hezekiah water tunnel with pool of Siloam. Today I don't have time to show you the picture we took in the tunnel. The Bible is true. Satan attacks whether the Bible is revised throughout and changing, evolved out from through all this history. And our current copy is not the same as the original one. And then we went to the I don't know how to pronounce in English because it is a Cantonese tour. Like a Qumran? Qumran. Thanks. We saw the Qumran community. How people diligently, faithfully copy Bible because they don't have printing machine. They copy Bibles and store, keep the Bible test. And we saw the we went to Dead Sea, and near that there's a Dead Sea scrolls, those places stored. People they discover the Dead Sea scrolls of Old Testament, and we saw that information on that. Those Bible texts, those manuscripts, is around 100 year BC to 100 or 200 years AD. So old, and compared with our current copies, we can see, so that no one can say that the Bible we are at hand today has been changed and evolved throughout history. God keeps it. Satan attacked Bible translators. Men die for translation, translating Bible in different languages. William Tyndale, Jan Hus, they die for Bible translation. People martyr for translating the Bible, which worth their lives. Does the Bible, your handy Bible in your hand, worth your time? Satan knows how important Bible is. He tries to distract and discourage people from reading and meditating God's words. So for those 15 people, you sort of have a resolution to read the Bible and know the Bible more. I encourage you. Don't do it yourself, because Satan will use different ways to distract you, to discourage you. Find someone. Ask him or her so that you can accountable to. Ask someone to pray for you. Ask a person. Ask her or him. Pray for you. And let him know. You will be accountable to him, so that you can learn to establish daily fellowship with God through God's word. Because you ask him to pray for you, and you want someone to be you can accountable to. So he has the permission to keep you accountable. So when he saw you, he has the permission to ask you, have you read the Bible when we were young? Auntie Yvonne and myself always ask my elderly sisters, wherever we go to church, sometimes, have you read the Bible this week? She did care for us very much. So ask someone. If you can find someone in this 15 people's group, ask someone. If you can't, find someone else. If you can't find someone, if you want, you can find me. I can check on you and pray for you. I do hope that in our midst, someone, at least one person, after this morning, can start to learn to establish a precious habit, have daily time with the Lord through His Word. Is there any questions? Although the time is already up. People write.
Is there a particular book of the Bible that you would suggest for people who are interested
in the Bible? I don't have. Yeah. I don't have a particular book for all people. In my life, I have some book in my different stage of my life or different time of my life. So I don't have that. But I encourage people to read New Testament first. Read the New Testament. Start from Matthew, chapter by chapter. If you have read Matthew, if you have finished the New Testament, you can, if you like, you can do Old Testament. But New Testament is a good start. For non-Christian. Oh, for gospel. One gospel, I think different gospels have different advantage. Depends on the person. But the Gospel of John is very good. Or someone think Gospel of Mark is good. So I'm not sure other people have any suggestion. Yes, there's a possibility, and we should think about do that more. At the moment we have Bible study on Saturday, and sometimes Neil, when he speaks, he does start to do a book continuously. Yeah, if you don't know how to start, you can also try to start with the book Neil has preached. Because you have some understanding. And if you read, you will have more understanding. And you can apply. We can actually today what I share is the focusing on the morning watch or quiet time, actually we have more opportunity. We can have more opportunity to learn the Bible. Yeah. So we can think about that. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good suggestion. And one thing I miss out actually is memorizing the Bible, the way to memorizing the Bible. Originally, I want to introduce you a way to memorizing the Bible, but I don't have time. I have quite a good way to memorize the Bible, but maybe talk about this later. If you want to know, just ask me. Yeah. How about we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you because you love us so much. You died for us, and you love us with sacrificial love, unconditional love. Lord, you want to feed us with your precious words. Because you say your words is life, is spirit. So help us to make effort and to give you time so that we can have fellowship with you. We ask the Holy Spirit to work in our heart and to help us. So that we can taste your goodness more and more and love you more and more and be transformed by you more and more to glorify you and to love you because you are worthy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.